Kirk Woodward is a playwright and a director, and he tells us that one-act plays have a long theatrical history as curtain raisers, as short standalone entertainments, and as major dramatic works in their own right. Molière gained his early fame writing one-act comedies like The Flying Doctor and The Rehearsal at Versailles, and that was in the 17th century, and those were following the tragedies he and others wrote. In the late 19th century, when full-length plays formed part of longer evenings' entertainment, important writers like George Bernard Shaw, Arthur Conan Doyle, and Arthur Wing Pinero wrote short plays to precede the main events. Much of the early growth of American theater in the first half of the 20th century can be found in one-act plays that Eugene O'Neill, in particular, wrote for the Washington Square Players and the Provincetown Players, with his sea plays generally regarded as among his best and as outstanding examples of the form. The professional career of Tennessee Williams began when a collection of one-act plays he submitted to a group theater competition was awarded a special cash prize. So, one-act plays are an enduring presence in theater. However, the classic one-acts are old news. The words world premiere, original work, and new plays are assumed to have strong appeal, and today's one-act play festivals and competitions generally feature new work. At a minimum, they will not feature a play by, say, Eugene O'Neill. The idea of the one-act play festival or competition got a major push when the Actors Theatre of Louisville began its national 10-minute play contest in 1989. ATL did not invent the one-act play festival or competition, though. Ensemble Studio Theater in New York, for example, began a notable one-act play festival in 1986, which continues to this day. However, Ensemble Studio Theater accepts submissions up to 40 pages long, and generally speaking, a page of a script is assumed to equal a minute of stage time. The genius of Actors Theater of Louisville was to impose a limit in the length of one-act plays to 10 minutes. Their specific requirement is for no more than 10 pages of script, not counting the title page and notes. Consider this. It simply takes less time to write a short one-act play, say a play 10 minutes long, than it does to write a full-length play. If I have a good idea, I can write a good one-act play in less time, perhaps, than one that's full-length. But what if I don't have a good idea? Shorter is not necessarily easier. In fact, shorter is often more difficult. The sentence, "I'm sorry, I wrote such a long letter, but I didn't have time to write a short one," has been attributed to many people. Whoever said it, its point is correct. It's easy to be verbose and extraordinarily hard to be succinct. In addition, a one-act play needs a one-act action, an action that fits the size of the play. A study of the best one-act plays points this out. Take George Bernard Shaw, for example, in The Glimpse of Reality and The Six of Calais. He does everything required by the size of his story, not less and not more. A favorite example is Words, Words, Words by David Ives from 1987, a riff on the idea that a million monkeys on a million typewriters will eventually write the plays of Shakespeare. It shows three monkeys named Milton, Swift, and Kafka banging away on the keys, comparing and criticizing their work, briefly coming close to an actual Shakespearean line, and illustrating in a charming way the difficulties of writing and the frustrations of creative work. It's a play with both immediate and long-range implications, snugly embodied in the short play form. May its tribe increase. Words of playwright and director Kirk Woodward for Rick on Theater, giving us some thoughts about one-act plays as we learn about the 12th annual One-Act Play Festival to be presented by Diva Theater in Scranton the weekend of January 29th, featuring seven plays, seven writers, and seven directors. Diva Theater is a nonprofit, award-winning community theater founded in 1997 by Paige and Bob Belitsky, and it is the resident company of the Old Brick Theater. Brink Powell and David Hunnish are Diva board members and directors of plays in the festival, and they stopped in to fill us in.
This is actually the 12th original one-act festival. It's very important to Paige and Bob that we explore local talent and get a venue for original pieces. We have so many really talented local writers, and it's great for them to have a space. I mean, I kind of feel bad that we're only able to do 7 shows a year when we had, what, upwards of 30 submissions?
Somewhere between 30 and 40.
Yeah, we had a lot of plays to read this year.
As I understand it, you didn't limit it to a specific geographic region.
Right, yes. There's 7 plays, 7 different writers, and 5 of them are local to the area. But there are 2 out-of-towners. 1, Georgia?
I believe it's Georgia.
Yeah,
yes.
So we actually had one from out-of-state who saw the call for submissions online and submitted his piece, and it was one of the ones that was chosen.
And so you have a committee. Is it a board committee or just a committee of people who are members or who are always active at Diva? How do you do that winnowing? Because that's a lot of plays to read through.
It's the whole board.
The whole board reads all of the submissions, and then we come together and we have a voting procedure with a ballot with all of them. You just start narrowing it down from there.
There's a lot that can be said in a short form.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we've chosen scripts by authors who maybe don't have a lot of experience, but have turned out something that's really good.
And it's so great for playwrights to have an opportunity to see their work, as we know, so that if they want to change something, but they don't know if it's just here. And even maybe when you have a table reading, you don't quite know.
Yeah, that always strikes me when we go through and we choose them and then we have the table read. Sometimes you're like, oh, that sounded different than I thought it would. And there, I will admit it, there are some pieces that I did not vote for. And then when I heard them out loud, I was like, oh, I get it. You know, reading it on paper is very different than listening to it. And I think that's why it's great that we have 13 of us reading and voting on these things for the different perspectives.
And the wonderful thing about the Old Brick Theater is that though it may be a small black box space, it is in that regard able to be a bar in one moment and in another show it's a bedroom. So it is flexible, I guess is the word, yeah?
Right. And I think especially for the one acts, the small space of Diva allows the words to really come center stage. And that helps us to highlight the work of these authors.
Now you're each directing. Do you have an entry as well?
We're each directing one, and I'm actually acting in the one that David is directing.
The one I'm directing, I did not write. It was written by Brad Vile, who's a local actor and playwright. Because of scheduling reasons, he wasn't able to direct, so I took over.
Same for me. I did not write it. Another one of our board members, Maggie Roche, she wrote it. And again, due to scheduling conflicts, she wasn't able to direct it. Leva Lanton, she's directing one that she didn't write herself.
Right.
She's actually directing the out-of-state one. And Gary Rosman, another board member, he's directing the other non-local.
People would need to know something about the premise of some of these. So they say, oh, well, that's unusual or that's pretty cool. What about the play that you're directing?
So the one I'm directing is called Thank You Five. And it is about the last 5 minutes backstage before the opening of a community theater production. So it's very appropriate, and it's really true to life. Maggie did a great job. She pulled in all these different little references to things that have actually happened. So there's definitely stuff that people who've acted in those shows will recognize, and then just theater people in general will recognize, like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, that's exactly what it's like.
So then it's basically a comic piece.
Oh, yes, yes. Very, yeah, it's a comedy, all right. Very funny.
And how many people are you marshaling around?
I have a cast of 6, so there's a lot. My father is actually playing the stage manager of the play, and he should be a stage manager. He's doing I really believe him. I believe him. He's got the energy, that kind of frantic, oh no, what could go wrong now energy. And we have a really sweet leading lady, and then we have her understudy who really wants something to go wrong so she can go on. Yeah, we have just a really, really funny cast, and they're milking it for all it's worth.
And how about you? Give us a little bit about what you've been working on, David.
Sure. The play I'm directing is called Fostered Ideal. It's one of the dramas that we're doing. So we have a nice mix this year of comedy and drama, but this one is definitely a drama. It's about an American family that on the surface seems very perfect. They're smiling all the time. They say the right things to each other. But as the play goes on, we see that it's very practiced and that there's something going on under the surface. And it talks a lot about, I think, the importance of communicating to each other and being honest with one another and what happens when that doesn't happen.
Is it a contemporary piece? Is it set in our day?
Not really. It's kind of abstract, but I think drops a couple popular names here and there, but they're from different periods. So I think it helps the audience understand that this kind of situation can happen anytime.
It would never be planned, but are there resonances? Is there anything else? Are there other family-based pieces? Are there other pieces that might be comic in the way yours is, Brink?
We have a comedy called It's Not What It Looks Like, and that one is fun. That one is very abstract and very surrealist and kind of like you don't really, because it's not what it looks like. So I think all of them are of the comedies. They're all funny in very different ways. So it's almost like mini genres within the genres. We do have one you mentioned before, turning the black box into a bar. We have one set at a bar, and it's a girl coming off a breakup, hoping to meet her new man. So we have stuff like that. For the dramas, we have a very sweet one. It's two widows who happen to meet at a cemetery and start up a conversation looking back on their very different marriages. I really feel like the lineup, there's like something for everyone.
Absolutely.
And so in terms of sequencing, You have to also decide, well, we don't want four comedies and then the very serious one. How did you decide to create the lineup?
I mean, the production coordinator, Maggie Roche, who wrote the one I'm directing, we're all wearing many, many hats in this production. So she and I kind of just went back and forth thinking like, well, you don't want to start with a drama. You don't really want to end with a drama. And then just trying to connect the pieces and see what fits with what and the tone of this one. Ooh, that might be jarring after coming out of this one. So it's just conversations and playing with it and chessboarding it. And I think we did finally come up with something that'll work.
Right. And even though they're all one acts, they're slightly different lengths. Mm-hmm. So I think we've arranged it in a way that really works.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not going to have an overwhelmingly long act one and then act two lasts like 4 minutes.
Right.
You want to kind of balance it out a little bit.
Does any one of them use any music, either need it for incidental purposes or, for example, if we're at the bars or jukebox and the music is part of the scene, anybody use any music? Any of the playwrights?
All of the plays have some kind of opening music that connects to the piece. And also after each piece will be an individual curtain call and we'll have music that helps bring the piece to a close as well.
Yeah, I think the one set in the bar, which is called A Series of Unfortunate Men, I'm not 100% sure, but the author and director, Ryan J, references some songs. So I think if any of them, that'll be the one where we hear music within the show. I have a sound cue that I really can't say what it is without giving away a plot point, but I have a kind of sound that you wouldn't expect to hear in a theater.
This is the 12th iteration of the originals. Do you get any feedback? Do audiences really like this kind of experience?
I think the one-acts are some of the most popular work that Diva does. We usually sell out.
Yeah, definitely. I joined the board in 2022, so I haven't been around for too many of them. But yeah, I mean, it's basically packed houses every night. And I think it is that there's something for everyone. It's something they've never seen before. I think the timing of it when we do it is great because it's kind of like, oh, Christmas is over. It's gray. It's cold. Like, this is something fun to get you out and about.
And the one acts usually use a lot of different actors and actresses. Mm-hmm. So it pulls from across the region and brings an audience from across the region as well.
Yeah, we have 21 actors total, you know, among the 7 shows. And I think they're good for actors who maybe don't have a lot of experience. This is their first time because you can get a part that is literally 4 lines in a 10-minute show to really test the waters and lighten that spark. And then maybe they'll go on to do more and more.
Right. And I think it's exciting for actors, too, because these plays are original. They get to originate these roles.
When Paige has been here in the past, she has mentioned that Diva has, from time to time, writing workshops or perhaps regular workshops. And is playwriting something that Diva does have workshops for?
There's a group, you know, Marcy Reby, she's part of it. It's called Diva Dramatists. So from what I understand, what they do is they meet one Saturday a month and they bring things that they're working on at home and read them and get feedback and talk about them together. And I know in the past we've had shows in the One Acts that started at Diva Dramatists. So it kind of feeds into each other.
Yeah, I think Diva is very good about, even when there's not a regular show going on, allowing artists to use the space, mm-hmm. which really helps to build community as well.
We have a number of chances to see these pieces, yeah?
Yes.
Our performance dates are January 29th through 31st, and that's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And those performances are at 7:30. And then Sunday, February 1st, the performance is at 2 o'clock. And that's at the Old Brick Theater in Scranton, 126 West Market Street. And we do, because we often sell out, we encourage reservations. And the phone number is 570-209-7766.
David Hunnish and Brink Powell, Diva board members and directors of plays in the 12th annual One Act Play Festival, to be presented by Diva Theatre in Scranton at the Old Brick Theatre. And it will feature 7 plays, 7 writers, 7 directors, and 21 actors. The Old Brick Theater is located on West Market Street in Scranton, and it's 126 West Market. And as David said, area code 570-209-7766, 209-7766. And you can find Diva Theater on Facebook. And Diva Theater, it's T-H-E-A-T-E-R, Diva Theater on Facebook. Show dates January 29th, 30th, and 31st at 7:30 p.m. and a Sunday matinee February 1st at 2 o'clock. That's the 12th annual One Act Play Festival presented by Diva Theatre at the Old Brick Theatre, 126 West Market Street in Scranton. Show dates the 29th, 30th, and 31st at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday February 1st at 2 o'clock. Area code 570-209-7766 for reservations.